Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Jill and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, this is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast, and I am Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, when you get a chance, do me a favor. Check us out at consumerguide.com. While you're there, check out our 2023 Best Buy Picks. This list is an excellent starting place if you or a loved one is shopping for a new car or truck, and you can stream back episodes of the podcast right there on our homepage, though you should just subscribe. That's easier. Just subscribe and then listen and then like and then review. Do that stuff. That would help us out a lot. All right. She's on the road again. She's never here in the studio. She is the managing editor of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. She's a North American Car of the Year juror, and her freelance work can be found where?
Everywhere.
She's on the road. We just said that. Hello, Jill Simonello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am distracted by the shower behind you.
I am in the weirdest hotel room I think that I have ever been in, and Tom and I are Zooming right now so he can actually see my background, and the shower is essentially in the bedroom.
Who is using the shower right now?
Nobody is using the shower right now.
All right. My eyes aren't too good.
I would not want to share this room probably even with my husband. That would just creep me out.
The lighting is weird too. There's nice lighting in the shower, and you're like in a tool shed.
Yeah, well, and the ceiling is cement.
That's nice.
I just feel like I'm in black and white, and everything in the bathroom is like in color. It's very weird.
I'm sure that's a very nice room, but from here, you know what it looks like?
It look like?
It looks like it's humid.
No, this is in Arizona, so this is not going to be humid.
Bare concrete inside, like an unfinished building, looks humid to me.
Okay.
All right, we're way off track already.
We are totally off track, but I can tell you that the reason why I'm in this hotel room is because I'm going to be driving the Ioniq 6, this week, tomorrow. I'm driving the Ioniq 6 tomorrow, and, I'm covering it for you.
Oh, well, thank you. You could have told me that in an email. The Ioniq 6, I want to talk about that vehicle anyway. And I know you don't know anything about it yet in terms of drive impressions, and you couldn't share them right away anyway. But I'm stunned that people are sort of divided on the styling of this vehicle, because I think it's really fabulous looking.
It's different. And I think it's just polarizing. And
Why? It's just good looking. I don't understand the polarization.
So the pixels are a little bit interesting, which we saw on the Ioniq 5. But I think it's just the overall side profile of the vehicle is just not something that we've seen before. And it looks different.
Do you remember,
so different is hard.
Yeah, I guess. Do you remember the Porsche 928?
No.
Okay, groundbreaking car from the late 70s, early 80s. It was the first V8 Porsche. It was the first water-cooled Porsche. And it was kind of a GT, right? The 911 was the sports car. And the 928 was the pricier grand touring vehicle. And it had this wonderful reputation for being a delightful high-speed grand touring highway kind of car. Anyway, that was a beautiful car. And this looks like a four-door version of that to me, which is... I don't know. It looks fantastic. I don't know why people weirded out by it. But one of the big things about the styling is the aerodynamics, right? This vehicle is known. Do we know range numbers yet, like final ones? But the battery range is really good.
Yeah, I don't think so. But I feel like the Ioniq 5 is like 320 miles. So it's built on the same platform. I would have to imagine it's similar. But we have the press briefings tomorrow, so I haven't looked at the press materials yet for it. And because I've been traveling so much, I'm probably a little bit behind. But I can't wait to drive it tomorrow. I think it looks cool, but it looks different, and it doesn't look anything like the Ioniq 5. And I think that also throws people.
I don't have a sense of its size. It looks midsize, but maybe it's smaller.
Midsize is probably correct.
Like a Camry Accord sized?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'll try and get a better sense of it tomorrow. See if I can like take any pictures all of it right. next to a Camry or an Accord and show size proportions.
Will you be able to share drive impressions next week? Oh, you're not on next week.
No, I'm not on next week.
Okay.
I'm going to be traveling again.
Yeah, whatever.
I know. Jill saves the world. I will be home in April and yeah. I will be in studio in April.
You know where I'm going today?
Where are you going?
Palatine.
Oh, where you are right now. Yeah. You are going nowhere, I guess.
I haven't been anywhere in a long time. Jill, I sent you something.
You did.
I did. This is published every month in Automotive News, which is a wonderful summary of everything going on in the auto world. Great newspaper. It's a great publication. But mm-hmm. every month they share these numbers. Now, these numbers are a little less valuable than they used to be because Stellantis and General Motors, for example, don't share these numbers on a monthly basis. But these are the inventory numbers. Now, we've been hearing for a long time about how hard it is to get new cars. Right. Makers have having a hard time building things or having a hard time keeping up with demand. And this is largely because of the microchip shortage, though there have been other shortages as well. So when we talk about day supplies in the U.S., we usually talk about 65 days as being normal.
Yeah.
And that's about 3 million vehicles on the ground at dealerships, either in the pipeline or in inventory at a dealership, something like that. 65 days. We've been way below that. Right. For a long time. But it's interesting to look at these numbers. Shared this week by Automotive News, and to see that there are a couple of vehicles out there that you can get. Now let's go to the bad news first. Subaru. You've heard of Subaru. They make cars.
Subaru? No, yeah. Yes, I have. We talked about the Crosstrek last week.
Yeah, we did. They're down to mostly single-digit day supply of vehicles. They don't break down the models. They just talk about their import and domestic stuff here, but they have an 11-day supply of vehicles, and 65 should be more or less normal. So if you want a particular Subaru, you're going to have a long wait. You might want to go to a dealer, get in line, and you're going to have to wait, or you can just take whatever they have because they're not getting another one soon. So we've been hearing a lot, too, about Honda. Honda is now up to a 30-day supply. That's closer to normal for them, but still really short. And don't have Toyota here, but here's a couple of interesting things. If, for example... And Jill, maybe you like this car, the Volvo S90,
mm-hmm.
right?
Really, which I do like it.
Yeah, big sedan, big wagon, likable car.
Mm-hmm.
There is a 75-day supply of those bad boys.
Huh.
So if you want one, they're there, probably in the color you want and the trim level you want.
Yeah, every flavor you want is probably available. I think Volvo is one of the more underrated automakers out there because it is they just don't get the credit that they deserve, and I don't know why. I think that they drive well, they have plenty of power. I like the way they look. They used to be funny looking, but they're not really anymore. And the technology is good. I like the Google Assistant software they've been programming into vehicles these days. I do.
I'm undecided.
I like it. I mean, I
for people who don't know, it's like using Google.
It is.
It's very weird.
It's literally like using.
Now I haven't Google voice Assistant. Commanded that. Have you?
Yeah.
Okay, and that works.
It
good?
Works pretty well. Yeah.
I don't like voice commands, so.
Well, but you know, that's the way everything is moving because of
myself.
So many big screens going on. You know, they want people to use voice commands so you're not taking your eyes off the road and trying to touch things.
Yeah, Volvo, to your point, Volvo went through an awkward transition, right? They used to be boxy and they were known for safety. And for a long time, they were turbo pioneers too. They were mm-hmm. like Saab. And Volvo, I mean, they were available with turbos, and they were good turbos. And back in the 80s, when cars, you know, almost universally sucked, Volvos and Saabs were quick. And
right.
They were fun to drive, and they were nice handling. And for European vehicles, both those Marks II are relatively affordable. But the transition Volvo went through is weird, because now Volvos are not weird looking. They're great looking.
Yes.
And they're priced almost parity with, like, BMW, Audi, and Mercedes. So they're in a different place than they used to be. And mm-hmm. as for them not getting credit for that stuff, I don't know. Do you feel that's the case, that they're underrated?
I do feel like they're underrated. And I mean, then you also have the fact that people just aren't buying sedans anymore.
Well, no, that's a huge problem, right? The S62, yeah. According to this, there's a bunch of those on the road, too. No one wants the sedans. At Lexus, for example, the only cars that Lexus sells, those if you want a car, you can get a Lexus. If you want a crossover, you're probably in a little trouble.
Yeah.
All right. Also on this list, I just wanted to mention these real quick because this one surprised me. The Ford Bronco Sport. I'd kind of gotten the sense that that vehicle was really hard to get, but the Bronco is, right? The big Wrangler-sized vehicle, hard to get. But the Bronco Sport, which is more Escape-sized, there's a lot of those. There's almost a 60-day supply of those. And then the Escape itself, which used to be a super hot-selling vehicle, 65-day supply of those, which is about normal.
Well, and so the Escape is going to be, I think it's 2023. It's new for the 2023 model year. Not all new, but refreshed.
Yeah.
So they've got some refreshed styling on the front end. They've got, I feel like, some updated technology on the interior. I think they've put in the Ford, like, infotainment system. And, it has some new things on the inside. I saw it probably a couple months ago. It was October when I think about it. A few months ago, I saw it in Detroit. And so I wonder if there's some transition change that's going on. So, like, people are waiting for the newer models
Maybe
to hit
that
dealerships. I don't know if that has, if they've hit dealers yet. So I think, like, there could be, the old a backlog maybe of old models. I don't know. Because the Escape is a great car.
It is. Larry,
I guess I should say SUV.
Our friend Larry Knutson, who hasn't joined us on the reboot of the podcast yet, but I guess he's scheduled to at some point.
Maybe.
He's argued up and down that the Escape is not a crossover. That it's simply a car. It's just a high roof car.
Well, but you can argue that most small crossovers or SUVs are actually cars because, frankly, the compact, subcompact, and small SUV segment was created to replace sedans.
Yeah, and they are.
Yeah.
To your point, we go further down this list, if you like, the Acura TLX. Great car, right?
Yes.
Great car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 82-day supply. So if you want a nice luxury compact sedan, there's your car. Midsize. I guess that's midsize.
Yeah.
It's about a quart size, right?
Car. So if you want a car, you can go buy it. If you want an SUV... unless you're going to buy a Bronco Sport or a Ford Escape.
And speaking of cars, and we've got Sam coming up in a minute, but Sam reminded me a couple of weeks ago, the Chevy Malibu still being built.
Yeah, still exists. and it's funny because I have a friend who lives in St. Louis, and she comes from a General Motors family.
Oh.
And so when her father used to work for General Motors.
X-Plane, right? They got X-Plane?
So she can still get the family discount.
Yep.
And so she loves the Malibu. And she asked me last year, she was like, what about the Malibu? And I was like, I don't think it exists anymore. But yep, it's still there. But I'm like, I wouldn't buy it. But yep, it's still there.
I've been sure for each of the past three model years that the Malibu had been discontinued.
Yep. I feel like, and we need to revisit this. We created a kill list of vehicles that we thought were going to die. The Deadpool. So we need to go back. Before we rebooted it, we created a Deadpool.
Yeah.
And I think we need to go back to your selections and my selections and see how accurate we were. And I think we need to come up with a new Deadpool.
I will share. I did an article about our Deadpool. So I will share that this week, and we can share that. But we need to revisit that. So you won't be on with us next week. We'll talk about the Deadpool in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Remember
Deadpool,
that.
And we can talk about the Genesis GV70. We can talk about the Hummer EV SUV.
Yes.
We can talk about the Ioniq 6. We can talk about the Mazda CX-90, and we can talk about the Toyota Prius. Well, maybe not the Toyota's Prius Prime just yet, but we got a lot of stuff we can talk about.
Now you're just getting
ambitious.
I've been
traveling a lot.
Also, will you be in studio?
When I am back in April, I will be in the studio.
Okay, because I need to bring in donuts and Haritos.
Yeah, and apparently I have pecan brittle for you. Last week I was in Atlanta and I was telling you that I had all of these weird things and you're like, pecan brittle? I want pecan brittle.
Yeah,
I'm probably even saying it not right.
I didn't know.
So I actually took that from Atlanta to Asheville back to Chicago.
Is that
so
legal?
I have kept that for you. I don't know. I don't know. So don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody I did that. I smuggled it into Illinois.
Oh, man. All right. So when you're in studio, donuts, Haritos, and the 95 cars you just mentioned.
And the pecan brittle. And the and by the way, I still have Beyond Beef jerky for you from like last summer. I keep forgetting to bring it in. I need to like create a Tom bag and just bring it in.
Jerky is so pressed, desiccated, dry, and salty that there's no way anyone knows if it's meat or not. Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah.
A little bit like hot dogs. Hot dog. No one knows a fake hot dog from a real hot dog.
Vegan hot dogs, totally fine.
Yeah. All right. You know what we should do?
What should we do?
We should take a break. When we come back, we talk to Sam Fiorani of Auto Forecast Solutions. Stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, we're back. I am Tom Appel. I'm here with Jill Simonillo, and this is the Car Stuff Podcast. Thanks for sticking around today. Hey, Jill.
Yeah?
Jill, this is the part of the show when I ask people nicely to follow me on Twitter.
I don't know. I think you're kind of mean about it. You demand that people follow you on Twitter.
I'm insistent.
Persistent. You're persistently insistent.
Yeah. All right. I am Car Guy Tom. Car Guy Tom. That is car_guy_Tom on Twitter. I promise to entertain. Great pictures up there this week. I found some great car spotter stuff. And I did something you wouldn't expect me to do. I took pictures of the Lexus LX600 in front of the local Masonic temple for no good reason whatsoever.
There's so much I could say to that. I'm just not. So since you said you took pictures of it, I have to say, how do you feel about the grill?
I don't care anymore.
So you like the Ioniq 6 and the way it looks, yeah, but you don't care about the grill for the Lexus LX600. Got it.
I don't want to go too deep in this conversation right now, and I think we've had it before. Certainly you and I have, at least offline, and certainly with Damon, who's very much into design. But way back when Lexus went ridiculous with the grills, the spindle grill, as it's often known, a Lexus designer was famously said that we're now in the conversation. He didn't care if people liked it or hated it. And a lot of people hated it. People were talking about it. And before that, Lexus design was pretty ambiguous.
Boring?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, boring?
Now it's incredibly aggressive. And no car is as aggressive or as dynamically entertaining as Lexus vehicles look.
Yeah. And I have so much to say about this vehicle, so I can't wait until we get into a review of it.
Yeah, I'm driving that right now, the LX 600 F Sport. And this is one of the first F Sport vehicles I've driven that the F part is actually sporty. Usually they're incredibly disappointing in terms of sportiness.
Well, it's more of a design package than a sport package is what that is. Yeah.
All right. Did I mention that I'm on Twitter?
A couple times, actually. Yeah.
Okay. All right. He is the single most quoted expert in the auto industry. He is vice president of global vehicle forecasting at Auto Forecast Solutions, Sam Fiorani. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast. Hey, Sam.
How you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Doing very well. I got to apologize for my computer because it keeps deciding which microphone to use. So.
Oh, so you have multiple microphone options?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. And it decides on its own that it's going to go back and forth. So hopefully we'll hold up for the whole interview here.
Now, I don't know if you heard us earlier in the show, but Jill is in a shower.
Oh, that's good.
Not quite in a shower, but sitting right next to a shower, which happens to be in the bedroom.
The acoustics are better there.
Yeah.
Apparently. I don't know. And I have a cement ceiling.
Yeah, so this is why we need to go live with this and probably do like Facebook Live or something so people can see this stuff.
I know. Yeah. We should be recording this, and this should be, I've said this over and over again. We should record like not only like the conversation, but what happens between, like during the commercial breaks. We should be recording it, and we should be posting it to the like after hours or after dark.
The reason we can't do that is because when I select the podcast on Buzzsprout, that's where the show is hosted, I have to select not explicit language. It's like a thing I have to check.
Well, so, okay, you put one thing to Buzzsprout, we'll put something else to
YouTube. All right. Sam, how are you?
I'm doing very well. The explicit language is a good thing because my mom listens to this.
Sam, for folks who don't know, remind us about Auto Forecast Solutions and what you do there.
Yeah, we provide information for the auto industry. We do forecasts, we do sales forecasts and production forecasts around the world, and provide information on what's coming and where the industries are going. So when suppliers or manufacturers need to know what's going on with their competition, we're the one they call.
And are you being kept busy by the fact that there are 9,000 new battery plants being built in the U.S.?
Oh, our team is always busy trying to find out where the next battery plant is, where the next assembly plant is, what plants are going up and down, and where the new products are coming from.
You know, I didn't even send this to you in my notes, and I'm sorry I'm dropping this bomb on you, but I'm going to ask because it just popped into my mind. But would you say that the Inflation Reduction Act is, in fact, stirring a bunch of battery plant production?
It's definitely introducing the conversation to everybody. And if you want to build a car, if you planned on building an electric vehicle for the American market, building it in North America was always a good thing. Mm-hmm. And this just increased it because you get more money for selling the vehicles. We've said for a long time that the money that they put on these cars from the government doesn't go to the end user,
right,
although it seems to. It actually goes to the manufacturer. So the manufacturers make another $7,000 if they can build it in North America.
And what you're saying is basically because they can raise the price of the vehicle to offset the incentive, right?
Absolutely. When they took those incentives off of other cars, you saw the prices drop by almost exactly that amount of money.
Interesting. So what's going on with the Chevrolet Bolt? Now, that qualifies for pretty much all of the incentive at the moment, right? Will it still qualify after they finalize that list?
Well, the Bolt's going out of production relatively soon,
oh.
So whatever they can get out of it, they'll get out of it. But in the next year or so, it's going out of production.
And Bolt's going out of production largely because the Equinox is coming online, right?
We've got the Equinox, we've got the Blazer, we've got all kinds of new models from General Motors coming in. There are a couple of Buick models and a couple of unnamed models that are also coming, but General Motors is loaded up with the EVs over the next 5 years.
You said a couple of Buick models. I know about the Electra E5. Is that one of them? What else is coming?
Well, we have I believe there's an E4 or an Electra E4, an Electra E5. They're mostly centered on China,
uh-huh.
But we do expect to get a few here.
Okay. So, Sam, I had sent you a list of stuff I wanted to talk about, and this is a total non sequitur, and Jill's used to me just changing subjects randomly.
Because you are so good at transitions.
But I've been looking, right. I'm managing the clock.
And managing the clock. What time is it?
I have no idea.
It's 1:24 where I'm at, so I don't know what time it is, where it is, where you are at.
My watch has very small numbers on it.
Okay. We need to fix that or get you glasses.
But Sam, I wanted to talk to you about something because I've been dying to ask this question of somebody, and you're the guy that I think would know this. In the industry right now, and I don't think consumers are aware of this because it's not that transparent, but dealerships, which used to be mom and pop operations going back in the U.S., you know, to the dawn of the industry, are being gobbled up by very large corporations like AutoNation and CarMax and things like that. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about this is if you have a big dealer network of cars, a company that owns 250, 300 dealers, does this serve the consumer or the manufacturer better? And part of my question ultimately has to do with manufacturers trying to get dealers to comply with things like infrastructure and design and inventory control and pricing. It would seem to me that like if GM had one company to go to for most of its network, it would be easier for them to get stuff done.
Or more difficult if they decided they didn't want to follow the lead of the manufacturer. They
sure.
They control such a block that it could do that. But it doesn't help the consumer by having all this control under a relatively small group of dealers. It's lack of competition is not good for consumers. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily better for the manufacturer. But it is definitely good for the dealer groups because they can consolidate all their costs, the F&I, the inventory, all the things that they need to spend money on. Then it's much better for a larger group than for a mom and pop group. If you own one or two dealerships, it's going to cost you a lot more than if you own 100 across three states.
What about like the electrification thing right now? Famously, Cadillac chased a bunch of dealers out of its network because they didn't want to pay the money to go electric. And Ford is now squabbling with its Ford and Mercury dealer. Or, I'm sorry, Mercury. Lincoln dealers. Well, Jill doesn't remember Mercury. She was too young.
I remember Mercury. They were still around when I first started writing about cars.
But in terms of electrification, does this matter?
It matters because they'll be more likely to follow the manufacturer's design that they want to add electric to chargers to their dealerships. I was at a conference a few weeks ago, and they had a Hyundai representative and a Toyota representative and a dealer representative from each of those groups, relatively large dealer groups. And the one dealer group said that they were chased out of a Buick franchise because they didn't want to spend the $1 million to upgrade for electricity. But he addressed the two representatives from the manufacturer and said, you know, it's going to cost you money to get these dealers who don't want to come along to get out. And my first thought was, no, it won't, because they don't want to chase their dealers out. It's only the Buicks and the Chevrolets and the GMCs that want to see these dealers go away. And Toyota and Hyundai have the number of dealers they want. So everybody's going to come along.
Interesting. Yeah. And I don't think people remember that, but it wasn't that long ago. Was it the 80s or 90s? General Motors had something like 20,000 dealers, or was it 10,000 dealers, but way, way, way more than they needed.
Oh, they've always had more than they've needed, just because each of the brands competes against each other. And that's not the way a company should do, is work against itself. But they have consolidated so that, you know, Chevrolet dealers stand alone, but Buick and GMC dealers are now combined.
Yeah, I remember when Pontiac GMC was a popular dealer network. You see a lot of those in rural places.
Yes, yeah, growing up in a rural place, that's exactly how it was in our town. It was Chevrolet Oldsmobile Cadillac for one and Buick GMC Pontiac for the other.
Wow.
Yeah. I was going to say it was the trio, GMC Pontiac Buick.
You saw that too, Jill?
Yeah, I thought that was a weird kind of grouping, because Pontiac to me was more of a performance brand, whereas you had GMC and Buick, which were quote unquote on the luxury side. So yeah. I thought it was weird that they put Pontiac in with that.
Well, sometimes they're not there to chase the same customer, but three different customers. You know, they're just hitting a broader market. But I remember we're going to school in DeKalb, Illinois in the 80s, and there were just crazy dealer groups. And for some reason, because this was a school town, right? This is Northern Illinois. There was a Volvo dealer right in the middle of town. And that's back when, you know, the professors bought Volvos.
The small town that I grew up in, we had the domestics and we had a Subaru dealer, and that was it.
So I have a conspiracy theory for you, Sam, and I want to run it past you.
I'm all about the conspiracy. Let's go.
Okay, so we've got the big dealer groups, right? CarMax, Allied, Lithia. And I'm wondering if at this point they're making it easier for manufacturers to at some point just buy all the dealers. Like, it would be super easy if what does AutoNation have, 300 dealers, something like that, that General Motors could just buy AutoNation, run it as a separate company, but actually own the dealers indirectly? Or would that be a huge violation of franchise law?
Oh, absolutely. Many of the states prevent that. So a lot of the states would have a big problem if they came in and bought any of those dealer networks. Things would have to change in a bunch of states before any of that could ever happen.
Where is that going to now? You and I have talked a little bit about Scout and the Scout brand and how that's going to be sold through a separate dealer franchise. We're seeing the EVs and the EV startups start to market without infrastructure and without the franchise dealer system. Is the dealer system safe? Do you think it's going to change in the next 10 years?
Well, it comes down to service for the most part. That's where dealers shine. Is if I have a problem and I know that my Ford can be serviced anywhere, there's a dealership within a few hundred yards of wherever I am in the country. But when you're a Rivian and something happens to your vehicle, something substantial happens to the vehicle, where do I get it serviced? Where's the local dealer for that one? And it becomes a big problem when these new brands become big enough that I'm sitting in Montana and nobody in Montana knows how to fix a Rivian.
Right. Well, is that going to be an issue for Tesla as they move forward, right? Tesla's got huge sales juggernaut, right? They're selling lots of cars. They have return customers. But ultimately, as they reach into deeper into like the more conventional, normal car shopper, are car shoppers going to be turned away by a company where they don't know where a dealership is?
The prestige of owning a Tesla obscures that at the moment.
Yeah.
But it's got to hit at some point where they have a massive recall on something physical, something that can't be downloaded into the vehicle. And who's going to fix all these cars? They have 100,000 vehicles that need a recall on a upper control arm or something physical on the vehicle. It could be a problem, but so far they haven't had that issue. I just got to think, with all the parts in a vehicle, something's going to happen.
And I thought I just saw like a investigation for Tesla right now, and I can't remember exactly what it was for, but it seemed to me like it was something physical, like something detaching that shouldn't.
The steering wheels in Model Y.
Steering wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Something that should's detaching. Yeah. You kind of want a steering wheel when you're driving down a highway. I mean, I know autopilot is supposed to be great and all, but still.
Yeah, I believe it's only on the yoke steering wheels, but it's on a handful of vehicles at the moment. But, you know, if Model 3 suddenly had a big recall, that could be tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of vehicles overnight.
Interesting. So Tesla still doing okay without dealers. Rivian doing okay without dealers. Do you think that Rivian maybe, which has a little bit less public love, is going to have to give in and start building infrastructure?
They're going to have to build some sort of infrastructure. If you're driving a truck, you're going to beat it up a little bit more than you would a Model 3. So there's people going to go off-roading on these things. They're going to get more physical with their vehicle, and you've got to expect something to break.
Yeah.
And me as a Rivian owner, I want to know that I can get it fixed and get it back on the road as soon as possible.
Sam, what do you make of the Tesla price cuts?
It's competition. There's a lot of competition out there, and people are moving more towards EVs, but not as much as there are EVs out there. There's just at the moment a temporary glut of EVs, and the buyers are just not shifting over in the masses that everybody intended them to be. And like we've talked about with Rivian and Lucid and all these other EV startups, more are coming. General Motors has a plethora of EVs coming. Ford has a bunch. Stellantis is yet to get in there, but they've got a bunch in the pipeline. We're going to have a lot of EVs over the next 5 years. The buyers have to step up and move in there, or else we're going to see more price cuts.
You know, talking about a glut of EVs, it's interesting to me that we've got big makers making big launches and they're not actually producing a lot of vehicles. And the vehicles that come to mind are the BZ4X, right, the Toyota, the Solterra, which is its companion vehicle, the Lexus RX, we just heard, and maybe RZ, thank you. They're not going to be building that in volume this year. And now the, what's the other vehicle? The Nissan Ariya, they're going to be limiting production for the first year, too. So we've got big launches and very small production. Is this just manufacturers being very careful with what they're doing?
Somewhat, but more that they're all imported vehicles. These are all vehicles that cannot fall under the IRA incentives. So we're not going to see people lining up for these vehicles so they can get their $7,500 off. These will be very price sensitive vehicles, or they'll just be for a particular niche of people who want to be the first to own an Ariya, the first to own an RZ. It's already limiting the market as soon as you come out of the gate.
Okay, yeah. So unless you're brand loyal or you really want those particular vehicles, you're going to be looking for something where you can get all the money.
Yeah, I can see a Subaru buyer wanting an electric Subaru and a Lexus buyer doing the same thing, but they're going to need to want to step up and pay a little bit more than they would if they were buying a Tesla or a Ford or a Chevy.
And I guess Hyundai is leading the charge and trying to negotiate about trying to get those incentives to apply to its vehicles too. Is there any news on that front?
I don't have any answers to you yet, but they definitely are. They're trying to work their free trade agreement with South Korea, so that they could bring those vehicles in and get them accepted with the IRA. Hyundai has the benefit of already putting down a plan to build EVs in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So the encouragement that we've already put down the money in the plant to build them locally, we just need the time to build the plant. And they've also just started producing Genesis here. So we have electric Genesis built in North America.
Yeah,
the plans are in place.
Yeah, I just drove the electrified GV70 last week, and it's built in Alabama on the same line, I think, as like Santa Fe and several other Hyundai vehicles. And this is the first Genesis that's being built in the United States. And I think it's the first Genesis period that's being built in the United States. And what I thought was really funny about this, and I think this information is out there. If not, I'm just going to have to mea culpa and apologize. But they're selling it in 15 states. And I thought it was kind of funny that Alabama, even though that's where it's built, is not one of the states that it is going to be sold in.
That makes sense.
Probably one of the states that doesn't get an incentive, a local incentive.
Yeah. But it will be sold in 15 states, and then stay tuned for more is what they kept saying.
All right, Jill, I don't know if you know this or not, but the G80 electrified.
Yeah.
Is that sold 50 states?
I think it is not. I think it was only sold in two states originally, but I think that it is going to be rolled out to the same 15 states that I think the idea is to sell the GV60, GV70, and the G80, all three of their electric vehicles in the 15 states.
I would not be surprised to learn that Genesis is not in all 50 states. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not. I think that's a pretty tight network.
Yeah, I don't know.
It might be limited from some of the more rural states, like I said, like Montana or something like that, where there's the population is more sparsely spread out in the state. And having driven the GV80, the G80 and G90 electrified, those are spectacular vehicles, and they absolutely fit their core demographic of those vehicles.
Yeah, they're really, really good vehicles. Sam, we're running out of time here. First, are you sticking around for the quiz?
Oh, sure. That'd be great.
Great. You get to beat me again.
Jill is on a hot streak. She's won four or five in a row. I'm not keeping track anymore, but Jill has won four. When Jill starts winning, I stop keeping track. That's weird.
Thanks for that. Yeah.
All right. Sam, remind us about Auto Forecast Solutions and how to follow you guys.
Oh, definitely follow us on Facebook and LinkedIn, especially on LinkedIn, where we do a lot of videos. And check out our YouTube channel, which is Auto Forecast. And we put up videos every week.
All right, sounds good. All right, Sam, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, it's quiz time. Stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I am Tom Appel. Thanks for joining us today. Jill.
Yes.
Jill Simonillo.
Yes.
I get the sense that you give short shrift to LinkedIn.
I do not.
You're on LinkedIn?
I am on LinkedIn.
Do you mention it?
I do.
Oh, maybe I just zone out when you start talking social media.
Yeah, thanks for that. You zone out whenever I start talking, period, I think.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
I know. Ba-dum-bum. But yes, no, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Twitter. I'm also on Twitter. And I am on Facebook, Instagram, Post. I'm now on Post. I'm on all of those good things. And you can find me under my name, Jill Simonillo, or I use the hashtag CarDuJour. So
when the federal government shuts down LinkedIn, I'm sorry, TikTok, are you going to go back to Foursquare?
No. Then I will post everything to YouTube Shorts, which I am also there, and I have started putting stuff and Reels. Now, you want to talk about confusing video situations? So
do I?
Yeah, you do. Like TikTok. So, like in the world of vertical video, you totally want to talk about all this because you really care.
Is that what it's called? Vertical video.
Video. So TikTok pioneered vertical video.
Yeah.
Instead of the horizontal,
I didn't know it was called vertical
YouTube.
Video.
Vertical. I call it vertical video. Okay. So then TikTok was there and it was a minute and then they went up to 3 minutes. Now you can do 10 minutes on TikTok.
Oh.
I don't know why anybody would want to listen to somebody for 10 minutes on TikTok.
No
but
idea.
You can do it.
No idea.
Then you have Instagram, which only allows you to do a minute and a half. And then you have YouTube, which only allows you to do a minute. So if you're doing something longer for TikTok, you have to shorten it for Instagram and for YouTube. And it's just really annoying.
Wow. Life is hell.
It's bad. I'm just going to put that out there for you. It's annoying. That is my 30-second or my minute and 30-second rant on vertical video. How's that?
Well, glad we could share that with the public.
Well, I think they want to know that. It's inquiring minds want to know. So when TikTok goes away, I'm going to have to go down to a minute 30.
Did you tell us how to follow you?
Jill Simonillo and CarDuJour.
There we go.
Yeah.
My videos are horizontal and they're 90 seconds.
So there you go. You could, if you switched it to vertical, you could put that on Instagram. I'm just going to put that out there for you.
Thank you for putting that out there. It's quiz time, boys and girls. I hope you're ready. Today's topic.
Another great transition.
This is quiz number 157.
Okay.
Jill and Sam, I hope you're ready. Today's topic is Subaru.
Oh, okay.
Excellent.
All right. Sam, you go first. Excellent. You're our guest today, Sam. You go first. You have to give me a quick answer. How many total models does Subaru sell in the U.S.? 7, 8, or 9?
7, 8, or 9. Yeah. Let's go with 7.
All right, Jill, this question goes to you. 7, 8, or 9?
I'll go with 8.
The answer is 9.
Ooh.
Crosstrek, Forester, Outback, Ascent, Solterra, Impreza, Legacy, BRZ, and WRX.
Oh, I always forget about Ascent.
Everyone
does. I dropped the BRZ.
Alrighty.
That's the first one I think of.
No one is on the board. Jill, you have no points. All right.
Well,
Jill, which of the following is not a legacy trim level? Are you ready?
Okay.
Limited Sport Touring or Touring XT. One of those is fake. The Legacy, of course, Subaru's largely ignored midsize sedan. Actually, a very nice car.
So you said Limited Sport Touring,
Touring XT. One of those is fake.
That's 4 on the list, right?
Yep.
I'm going to say Touring XT.
Sam, this question goes to you. One of these is fake. Limited Sport Touring or Touring XT?
It's Limited and Sport are separate.
Yes.
You're saying that correctly. Okay. So I'm going to go with Sport.
You're both wrong. The fake is Touring. They skip right to Touring XT.
All right. So we both have 0.
We are on a roll.
Sam.
Totally.
There's no way you know this, Sam. Sam, who imported the Sam, who imported the first Subaru to the U.S.? Was it Bob Lutz, Malcolm Bricklin, Abraham Lincoln, or Billy Crystal?
Oh, I would love to say Billy Crystal, but give me your list again.
Bob Lutz, Malcolm Bricklin, Abraham Lincoln, or Billy Crystal?
Malcolm Bricklin.
Okay. Jill, this question goes to you. Sam may not know what he's talking about here. Bob Lutz, Malcolm Bricklin.
I usually don't.
Abraham Lincoln or Billy Crystal?
Bob Lutz strikes me as more of a sports car kind of guy. So I have to go with Malcolm Bricklin as well. Because it's not going to be Abe.
It is Malcolm Bricklin, the first car. Sam, correct me if I'm wrong, the 1966 Subaru 360, which Malcolm Bricklin was able to easily import because it weighed less than 1,000 pounds, and thus
it was technically a motorcycle.
Yes. There we go. All right, the score is tied 1-1. Didn't a lot of people die in that car?
I don't know how many deaths, but Consumer Reports hated it.
Yeah. It was a weird-looking little blob. All right.
I thought it was cool.
Oh, it's very cool, but there was also the 1970, and I don't remember this car at all, the 1970 FF1 Star, which I've never seen.
The FF1 was the first real Subaru in the U.S.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's kind of conventional looking. I've never seen one before. All right, the score is 1-1. This is anyone's game. Jill, this question goes to you. Which was the second best-selling Subaru in 2022? Are you ready?
Yep.
Crosstrek, Outback, Forester, or Solterra?
Not Solterra.
Okay, not Solterra.
You're saying second best.
Second best.
I feel like the top three were the Outback, Forester, and Crosstrek. So which order were they in? And Crosstrek, at the Crosstrek presentation, I feel like they went over this too.
Should have paid attention.
I took notes. I just haven't seen my notes, and I've been in 20 different states since then. Let me think. Okay, I'm going to Forester.
You going with Forester? Sam, Crosstrek, Outback, or Forester? Second best-selling Subaru in 2022.
I know the Forester and the Outback have been the top-selling ones back and forth, and I want to say that the Crosstrek was number 2 last year.
Outback was number 2 last year. Sam, you said Crosstrek?
Yes.
Okay, so we remain tied 1-1. It was Crosstrek 155,000, Outback 147, Forester 114,000, and Solterra 949.
So you're saying Crosstrek was first?
Crosstrek was first, Outback was second.
Okay. Second. Well done, Crosstrek. Yeah.
There you go. Yep, it's tied 1-1. We go to question 5. This is getting tight. Sam, which of the following is not a 2023 Subaru Solterra color option? Cosmic White, Galactic Black, or Zinc?
You're presuming that all the colors have arrived in this country?
No, I'm not actually. Let me just qualify, and thank you for pointing this out. This is per the Subaru website, and at some point These should be available.
Okay. Give me the colors again, please.
Cosmic White, Galactic Black, Zinc. One of those is fake.
Let's go with Zinc.
All right. Joel, this question goes to you. Cosmic White, Galactic Black, Zinc.
All right, so I'm going to say I was going to say zinc too, but I do not wish to end in a tie.
A bonus question.
I know, but neither of us are going to get that because you're going to talk about something that's on a menu in like Tibet. So I'm going to go with the black, the cosmic black or galactic black.
Galactic black. Was zinc. Sam wins today 2-1.
Yeah, so for the record, I was going to say zinc, but I didn't want to end in a tie.
I tried to steer you into saying it.
I know you did.
I badly wanted the bonus question to matter.
Oh.
But it didn't. Jill, as you know, the bonus question, always related to the topic at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Jill, you're a big eater of salad. This should be easy for you. Per Wikipedia, which of the following is not a subspecies of the lovable radish? Are you ready?
Okay.
The oilseed radish, the daikon radish, the green radish, or the Hemingway radish. One of those is fake, per Wikipedia.
I know daikon radish is real.
Uh-huh.
I know that. So okay. What were the other three again?
Oilseed, green, and Hemingway.
Green radish does not sound appetizing. But I wouldn't be surprised if it were real. I'm going to say oilseed is not real.
All right, Sam, this question goes to you. One of these radishes is not real. Oilseed, daikon, green, or Hemingway?
I want to go with green just to say that's raw, but I'm going to go with Hemingway.
Sam, you're correct. The Hemingway is a fake. And Jill, to your point, the green radish looks really, really weird.
Yeah, I was going to say that cannot be appetizing.
All right, Jill, as you know, I'm bad at managing the clock, but we have a few minutes left. Tell us what's going on at Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. Or anywhere else your many fingers have reached out to in the past 2 weeks.
Well, since I have been on the road pretty much 100% the last couple of weeks, I've got a new review posted. So I've got reviews of the RZ posted. I've got reviews of the new Crosstrek posted. Tomorrow, I will be posting review of the Genesis GV70, the electrified version. Then we've got I drove the Dodge Hornet. Uh-huh. So that is lifting on Wednesday. And then the the Hummer SUV EV will be, I'll have an article coming up there on Thursday. So lots of reviews coming. So be sure to tune into that. And both written reviews and YouTube reviews. So check us out both on the web and on YouTube.
Two things real quick. One, remind us what the RZ is.
The RZ is the electric Lexus.
Okay. Yeah. And that's basically the Lexus version of the BZ4X. Which is the Toyota.
Yes.
I mean, it's mechanically the same.
It's built on the same platform, but they did a really good job of, I think, of differentiating it from the BZ.
Now, I just realized something. Now, you're on the road. You've been on the road almost no stop for like 2 weeks or whatever here. And you're getting some stuff written while you're on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that you are one of those people, the 1%, that can actually work on a plane because you can fold your laptop table down in front of you.
I sit cross-legged in the seat and fold down the laptop tray. I am probably the 0.05% of the people that can do that are not children.
Wow. Everyone else on the plane hates you. And then you recline just for fun, right?
No, I don't recline. I actually don't recline because I don't need to. And so I was on a plane this morning on my way to Arizona, and I'm sitting in the aisle seat in the aisle seat, and I'm typing. And the woman in the middle is like literally like she's my size. And I don't know how she expanded to be three times the size that she was. But she like kept bumping me with her elbow. And I'm literally like not taking up any space at all. And it's just like, lady, come on. She kept looking at me and she, like I was the problem. I'm like, you are in my space.
Wow. And did you guys have it out? Like, how did that end?
I did not have it out. I just kind of looked. I gave her my Italian like, you know, side eye, and she eventually stopped, but like initially she kept bumping me, and I was just like, Really? Really? But yeah, I did finish the story.
It seems like that story came close to me reading about it in my Yahoo news feed. Because usually, right, usually violence on a plane ends up a story.
There was no violence on a plane. I just, like I said, I gave her my little Italian side eye.
Jill asked me what I wrote about recently.
What did you write about recently, Tom?
Oh, thanks for asking.
You're so welcome.
You know what I just drove and wrote about and that I liked way more than I expected to like, despite the price? That is the BMW X7 M60i.
Ooh, I've not driven that yet.
A couple of things about this. First of all, anything that begins with M now is sort of like the one engine up. It used to be that it was a very specific vehicle, but now it's sort of like the next powertrain up. But this lineup is interesting, right? There's the M40i, that's a six-cylinder, the M60i, which is a turbocharged V8, and now there's the Alpina, which is the BX7, and it's like 160 grand, but I would love to drive one, but it just seems a little silly. But the X7 is BMW's large crossover. I believe it's only three-row crossover, because I think the third row is coming out of the X5. Which is the midsize
crossover.
That
makes sense.
But this vehicle, we just talked about the Cadillac Escalade V. This is like that, like on some sort of pain medication. It's just a little bit more
is that
subtle.
A good thing or better? is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It sounds like a bad thing. It sounds pejorative, but it's wonderful. It's actually an incredibly impressive vehicle. It is roomy. It doesn't have the combination of third seat space and storage space that the Cadillac does. It's smaller, but it's a really good size. It is unbelievably refined, very quick, and I think it came to $117,000, but a lot of money, not for the common man. But if you're looking for a vehicle that is both incredibly functional, doesn't call a lot of attention to itself, and is still rewarding to drive, this is your vehicle. I loved it.
And you know what the BMW X7 has that the Cadillac Escalade does not?
What's that?
Heated third row seats.
All right. Yeah, I didn't mention that.
No, you didn't. But I think the BMW X7 and then the Hyundai Palisade are like the two three-row SUVs that I know of that have heated rear seats.
Oh.
Third row seats.
Guess what we did, and I didn't mess up.
Are you sure? Because I think we still have 4 minutes.
Well, we don't go all the way to the top.
Okay, then 2 minutes.
Yeah. All right. You're not helping.
I think we need to ask Sam what he's got going on.
Sam, how much time do we have left?
We have hours, I think.
No.
My clock is broken.
They'll just lock this place up and just leave me here talking to an empty microphone.
Well, you know, that's different from normal days?
But I don't know. Thank you so much for joining us today. Remind us, how do we find Auto Forecast Solutions?
Look for Auto Forecast Solutions on YouTube, on LinkedIn, and Facebook. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, please.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks to Sam Fiorani of Auto Forecast Solutions. Thanks to Jill and producer Randy and the good folks here at TalkZone Radio Network. We are live every week at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Chicago time, and 7 p.m. in Equatorial Guinea. Miss the show? Download the podcast and be sure to like, share, and review. It's a big help. And we'll talk more about cars when, Jill?
Next week.
Well, you won't, though.
No, I won't. You will. Yeah. In 2 weeks from now, we will talk about cars.
We always mess something up right at the end. I will talk about cars more next week.
Remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.